Spirit by Cheryl Laurie. Spirit, maker of chaos, resister of order, she who takes on the world, breathe. Wreak havoc in complacency, upturn smugness and self-satisfaction. Defy authorities that deflate. Challenge all powers that squeeze the hope out of your people and out of your church. And breathe life back into the world gasping. Breathe, Spirit, breathe. Pentecost, from the Greek word for 50th, is the 50th and last day of the Easter season. This year, I began my Lent and Easter seasons by preaching on Ash Wednesday, just a few short days after my dad's funeral. And the season has progressed that way, from grief to fear, uncertainty to chaos to boredom, and grief again and again. And after next week, we begin nearly 6 months of ordinary time. What does that mean? Ordinary time? Is there anything ordinary about what has been and what is coming? Will we ever return to ordinary? Today we celebrate the coming of the Spirit in wind and flame and fire. And yet, Minneapolis and New York and Fort Wayne and many other places are in upheaval and burning. Is it prophetic or chaos? And people are dying from the lack of breath, from COVID, from the lack of being able to breathe, from racialized violence, from depression, from climate change, from loneliness. Last year on Pentecost, we celebrated and we moved into this new space, space that we had worked hard to create, space that we imagined would be shared by the community, space full of loving energy from so many of us. And we celebrated together the creativity, the creation of the church of community, the entrance of the chaotic Holy Spirit into the lives of the disciples. We celebrated an embodied and creative act. And now here we are, outside of that space, in our bodies, but disembodied to each other. We have to imagine again what it means to be church together, what it means for us to respond to police brutality and gun violence and racism and climate change, what it means to be tired and parenting at home while we try to go to work, and privileged to have jobs and community, and for me, time and space to be outside. And yet it seems every day that my life is swinging back and forth between intensity and boredom, between Lego and liturgy, between nurturing people and animals and the ground, and just feeling exhausted, like it is too much. And if I can remember that it doesn't have to be such a pendulum swinging back and forth, being pulled and tugged, then I can imagine that it is lungs breathing in and out, in and out, alternating between the joys and sorrows of everyday life. We have tended and cared for and buried 10 animals in our house since the quarantine began. A hamster that was accidentally stepped on, a flock of chickens eaten by a raccoon, and a raccoon that was killed for eating the chickens. We have planted more flowers, more vegetables, and more trees than ever before. We have been invested in life in the dirt. We have invested in life in the dirt, which means, to quote Willie James Jennings, "I am trying to think theologically from dirt and trees, to think theologically from sky and water, ocean and animals, not as a background to life, but as the reality of connection that prepares us for the living of life together."
even as the virus keeps us separate, we cannot help but see the ways we are connected, the ways that our actions and our decisions impact and connect us to those around us. And it's not just the impacts of people's decisions to stay in or go out, to wear a mask or not, but the impacts of the ways that I am connected to the violence that continues to disproportionately impact Black men. The ways we are connected and tied by a history of racism perpetuated in the built environments, including the neighborhoods and the communities we live in. Yesterday, while I was wondering about the Holy Spirit as fire, I guess Friday, I heard Eddie Glaude, the chair of the Department of African American Studies at Princeton University, interviewed on Here and Now. His words were prophetic for me, hopeful words, words about the fires, particularly in Minneapolis, and words about fire for justice in our hearts and on our tongues. I'd like you to listen to this 1 minute clip now.
Know this, that the fires and the embers in Minnesota are a prophetic warning of what's to come. We're on the cusp of fundamental transformation in this country. We cannot be the same. COVID-19 has revealed all of the ugly underside of American life. And what we've heard and what we've seen over these last few days, right, is a clamoring for a more just America in so many ways. The danger, of course, is that white people will double down on their commitment to the belief that they matter more than others. And so where do we go from here? We have to continue to push for a more just world, to imagine, and I don't want to sound melodramatic here, but to imagine a different way of being together, because we have to. But you know what? We can't wait on white America to make that decision, to finally leave behind this belief that they matter more than us. Those of us who are committed to a more just America, we just got to build a new way of being together. What that's going to look like, I'm not sure.
Eddie Glaude is the chair of Princeton University's Department of African American Studies.
While the road ahead feels uncertain and urgent, we must remember, says Sarah Taylor Peck, that the flames showed up 50 days after an unarmed man was killed by those with authority. He cried out, and after his last 7 words, he breathed his last. His mama was there and could not comfort him. Bystanders gathered at the cross, some who begged for mercy, some who remained silent and ignored his pleas. We remember in the days after his death, there was pain, a need for transformation, a need for change, a need for justice to roll down like a mighty stream. And so we, like the disciples on Pentecost, are called to this creative work, this creation of the kingdom of God. And as we celebrate the coming of the Spirit, we are too, like the disciples, still reeling with grief and confusion. They at the mystery that Jesus died and lived and ascended to heaven, and we at the mystery of this truly human condition of holding multiple feelings and experiences at the same time, of living with the human complexity of grief and delight in the same body, sadness and relief in the same breath, fear and celebration, one moment after the next. And so here we are, and each day is so full. Walter Brueggemann says that at Pentecost, God created a new language, but it was a language more than words. It was instead a community whose memory of God's mighty deeds creates the miracle of being a people whose very differences contribute to their unity. We call this new creation the church, constituted by word and sacrament. For the story we tell, the story we embody, must not only be told, but enacted. And in the enactment, in the telling, we are challenged to be a people capable of hearing God's good news so we can be a witness to others. In the enactment, we are made part of common history that requires continuous celebration to be rightly remembered. And so, my friends, that is what we do today, even as we are gathered in all of our different places. We enact in word and story and sacrament this story, the pain and the love, the fullness of life in these moments, and we covenant together to be church together. Even when we cannot give each other a hug, even when we cannot be in the building we built, even when the fires of justice look like the fires of hell, we covenant to do our best together, to call each other to account, to live with the mystery of community. But this call is not an easy one. It is not easy for any of us. This week, I finished 8 weeks of being with 10 of our MYFers in a baptism class. And when we gather again, friends, we will get to baptize a number of these fine young people. And in their struggling with questions of what they can claim, I want to tell you some of their words. Cora Beasley said, In deciding to be baptized, I'm making a commitment to myself that when I'm not in a bubble where everything is easy and easy for me to follow these values, when I face harder things and challenges, I will stick to the values I am committed to. Indeed, it is community that we can face the hard things together. We cannot undo systems of racism, patriarchy, or homophobia on our own. We cannot be good allies on our own. Josh Schrock said that getting baptized is affirming that I will try to live according to the ways of God and not the ways of the world. For me, it makes the choice more meaningful and also harder. I would love it if all of society could be based on the ideals of Jesus, he said, because that would make the choice so much easier. Because honestly, that's what I want. But denouncing so much of society is a pretty tough pill to swallow. But I do want to get baptized, because I want to live in the ways of God, and I want to make a commitment to living a life that's morally right. Even though I know there will be times when I sin or choose the way of the world over God, I feel like making that commitment is a reminder to me to choose the right path when I might otherwise not. And Jaden Kaufman said, I know now that I do not need all of my questions answered to be baptized. If my curiosity stops when I'm baptized, then maybe I made the wrong decision. And I say to Jaden and all of us, creativity and change need curiosity and questions. We all need good space for questions and conversations. And finally, Sophia Yordi said, choosing baptism is not landing on a destination or an answer. It is the act of committing to a path of curiosity, a path of returning to ancient beliefs that hold strong even though the earthquake of question and change. It is a path that leads to water that bends with the body of the river and freezes and waves and flows through our veins, sustaining life. And so each of these young people are willing to take the risk in the radical call to be church, and I hope you are too. Each year, we participate together in the recreation of the church, in a rededication of our life together. In our life together as a community of faith, we offer ourselves to God and each other through our singing and our praying and our worship, through our Zooming and our sharing of stories and food and bread and laughter and grief, and through our expressions of care for each other. This morning, you have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to offer ourselves through commitment making. At Assembly, we believe that baptism and church membership and being part of a community of faith are voluntary. They are symbols that express our yes to God's love, our yes to the Spirit moving among us, and our yes to discipleship and community as we seek to follow the footsteps of Jesus, both individually and collectively. Attached to the order of worship, and Anna will share it on our screen, is our covenant. Our covenant is Assembly's theological vision, as well as the practices we commit to as we live out that vision. We invite everyone who affirms our covenant and commits to our practices to covenant with us. So I'm going to invite you to read the covenant together, unmuted, with the chaos of all the voices of Pentecost. Please join me.
Oh, it's up here.
As a community of
God's we receive with joy God's gracious love. Worship, praise, this covenant with God and with each other. Faith in God.
We encourage and pray for each other. All of creation is for Christ.
Pray for bringing out this
covenant. Pray for each other.
For the time.
Fullness in Christ.
Fullness in Christ. Fullness.
Covenant adoption, March 1993.
As we continue this ritual of recovenanting, we not only affirm our theological vision, but we also recommit to practices so we have a guide for living in this crazy time, so that we have suggestions for creative act for a more just world. I'm going to unspotlight myself, so that you can put your screen on gallery view. That's all the little boxes around, so you can see each other. And I would encourage you to get your flames ready and put your finger on the space bar so that when I ask you, we can unmute and say together, take the fire of my tongue and let it sing for you. Let's try that. Wave your flames and unmute. Take the fire of my tongue and let it sing for you.
Take the fire of my tongue and let it flame for you.
I will be reading a summary of each practice and a little blessing, and then I will hold up my flame, and that's the time for waving and saying. Okay? Here we go. We strive for active participation in congregational life, to be church together, not an audience, to take risks contributing to worship together, to help discern the direction of the congregation, to participate in community building, finding ways to connect with those we may not know. God of wind and spirit, take all of our hopes and wishes for being church together. Bless us in our endeavor. Call us to take risks, to make welcome the community of God. Put fire on our hearts and tongues. Take the
fire of my tongue
and let it sing for you.
We work on ongoing spiritual practices, reviewing our stewardship of time and money and gifts and nurturing children. We model and share our struggles with each other. We encourage each other to proclaim faith in God and ask real questions in our
searches.
In all of this, we desire to give and receive counsel, recognizing we need the community, the larger body of Christ, for our mutual growth. God of wind and spirit, take all of our hopes and wishes for a deeper spiritual life. Bless our endeavor. Call us to take risks, to make welcome the community of God. Put fire on our hearts and tongues. Take the fire. We act on our commitment to biblical peace, nonviolence, and justice, in our commitments to build healthy relationships, in seeking reconciliation, in releasing our financial resources, and working for economic justice, in our care for our creation, and our actions for justice locally and globally in our seeking of inclusion for all who want to be part of the family of God. God of wind and spirit, take all of our hopes and wishes for a just world. Bless our endeavor. Call us to take risks, to make welcome the community of God. Put fire on our hearts and tongues.
Take the fire of my heart and sing for you.
God of wind and spirit, take all of our hopes and wishes for this community together. Windy God, blow through us, enliven us, bless our endeavor, call us to take risks, make welcome the community of God, put fire on our hearts and tongues. Amen.